1975 and two-time in the classic from Blondie to start the hour. A lot of rain around in England yesterday, what's new, but thankfully Centre Course and Court 1 at Wimbledon both have roofs on them now, so we did see some action. Here is today's Wimbledon roundup from the BBC.
Wimbledon update from the BBC with Lee James.
Welcome to day two of the Wimbledon Championships. Centre Court was left with the tears of a champion, the seven-time winner Serena Williams, forced to retire from her match against the Belarusian Alexander Sasnovich. Three games all in the first set. Serena had been struggling with what looked like an ankle injury. She had a timeout, she received some medical treatment. She came back and tried to continue, but you could just tell it was not going to be possible for her. There were tears in her eyes as she prepared to serve at one stage, and she made her way to the net to shake hands with her opponent. A desperately sad way to see a great champion leave Centre Court. Chris Dennis is with me. Chris, you do have to wonder, could that sadly be the last time we see Serena Williams here on Centre Court? As for today, though, so desperately disappointing.
Desperately disappointing. And what a contrast to the way she arrived on court with what we described almost as a bridal trainer. Yet another extraordinary outfit from Serena Williams. And apart from the outfit, everything seemed to be going well. She was in decent form. Most people had tipped Wimbledon to be the place where she would, if she's going to do it at all, capture that elusive 24th Grand Slam title. So all the ingredients were in place. And goodness me, what a contrast, because she left the court, as you say, what, barely 40 minutes later in tears. And you have to feel desperately sorry for her. And it's a valid question, Lee, I think. Is that the last time perhaps we will see Serena Williams at Wimbledon? I wonder.
Before that, Roger Federer did make it through to the second round, but not without a scare against Adrian Mannarino in another match that was affected by an injury. Federer was trailing by 2-1. He looked in trouble. We wondered, could he go out in the first round? For the first time here since 2002, he was leading 4-2 in the fourth set when Mannarino slipped while trying to change direction and twisted his knee. He tried to continue as well, but then had to retire at the start of the decisive set. So Roger Federer goes through, Chris, but clearly he's not match fit at the moment, is he? Will this be a real worry?
I think it will be a real worry. He'll feel as though he was very lucky indeed to come through and take his place in the second round. I think what we saw today from Roger Federer was somebody really struggling to find his touch. And the reason he's struggling to find his touch is that he simply hasn't played enough matches at tour level this year. This was only his ninth match of 2021. He barely played in 2020, partly because of COVID. And of course, he's really still coming back from that double knee surgery. He turns 40 in a matter of weeks. And you just wonder whether a combination of lack of practice, lack of match practice, the knee surgery and Father Time just getting closer and closer. Are we starting to see the beginning of the end of Roger Federer as well?
Well, Roger Federer, though, is through to the second round.
Wimbledon update from the BBC.
Now, the world number one, Ashley Barty, also made it through in three sets against her opponent, Carla Suarez Navarro, who took the second set on a tie break. She received a standing ovation when she left the court, the Spaniard playing only her second match since returning after cancer treatment. She will retire at the end of the year. A wonderful moment for her. For Ash Barty, though, Chris, she showed why she is the world number one.
She did, and she's due a good run here at Wimbledon. And it was good to see her coming through and digging deep in that second set and making her place in round two secure. She had those injury problems at the French Open just a couple of weeks ago. First of all, a leg injury, and then it became a hip problem. We wondered whether she'd be fully fit for Wimbledon. But she's got through the first round with the added emotion, as you say, of playing what we knew would be Carla Suarez Navarro's last ever appearance at Wimbledon. I think overall, both on the court and the emotions of the occasion, I think Barty handled it very well.
It's been a rain-interrupted day, but we have had some play, of course. And what are the headlines, Chris?
Well, I think on the men's side, we had a victory today for Sascha Zverev against the Dutch qualifier Talan Griekspoor in three straight sets, 20 aces along the way. And also Daniel Medvedev at the bottom of the draw coming through against a really tricky match against Jan Lennard Struff in four sets. He'll be delighted to have got through that one.
Chris, thank you. So we've had some drama, we've had some tears here on centre court, and it is the end of Wimbledon for Serena Williams. Thanks for joining us. We're back for day three of Wimbledon.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Dawn Howard is here with our last Woofer of the Week before the summer break. That came up quickly, didn't it, Dawn?
Did it whizzes by.
Does. It's not really the best time of the year to be sort of offering animals homes. But I was reading, shockingly, a couple of days ago, that refuges across the region are expecting to have bumper numbers of abandoned animals this season. What is wrong with people?
I don't know. It's it makes me very cross every single summer. It's very annoying. I'm kind of hoping it won't happen this year because I think there are more people staying put because of everything that's going on. So we can only hope.
Given that you have to chip a cat and a dog these days, hopefully anyone who does abandon an animal can be traced.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, so what have we got for our final woofer of the pre-summer?
We've got a corker today. We've got a female Australian shepherd called Anchor, and she's 5 years old, and she's only been at the refuge for 3 weeks, so it would be really lovely to find her a home quickly. She is a smiley dog, and she doesn't pull too much on the lead, which is good because she's 35 kilos. She walks nicely, and she isn't bothered about other dogs when she's on the lead. She gets on with male and females. She can sometimes be a little bit dominant. She knows some commands like sit, giving her paw, and lie down. And it would be great if she could have new owners who have a garden. For more information about her, visit the website www.songcollierprovence.org, or you can email scp83@orange.fr, and you can also call on 06 1957 2181 and leave a message and they'll call you back.
Something nautical might be appropriate for Anchor.
I was thinking Paul Anchor.
Oh, how's it spelled?
It's spelt like Paul Anchor.
Oh, it's spelt like Paul Anchor. I was going to say Anchor would be a pretty strange name for a dog. Anchor, right, rhymes with, yes, we won't go there. Thank you very much, Dawn, for all your hard work over the years doing Woofer of the Week, and have a lovely summer. We'll talk to you at the start of September.
Lovely. Have a really good summer, everybody.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Riviera Radio.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
The Eye newspaper says the Brexit Minister David Frost has washed his hands of the crisis forcing musicians to abandon tours of the EU despite Boris Johnson promising he would fix it. In a stormy session with MPs, the chief negotiator insisted it wasn't his job to try and find a solution, which was the role of the Culture and Transport Departments, he said. Lord Frost refused to say the crisis would be solved this year as the UK refuses to reopen talks with Brussels, saying only, "We hope to be able to deliver some results." As he downplayed the anger of top musicians such as Elton John, who's accused Minister of lying because the star had his first hits before the UK even became a member of the European Union. Lord Frost was accused of sacrificing tour artists, now faced with huge fees and red tape for visas.
In this morning's Le Monde, France's health minister has revealed that the Delta variant of COVID now represents one-fifth of cases in France. That's double last week's estimate. While France is seeing an overall fall in cases, the highly infectious variant that originated in India is gradually becoming more dominant. Only 509 new confirmed cases were reported on Monday, and the seven-day moving average of daily additional infections fell to 1,819.
And the Sydney Morning Herald says New South Wales has recorded 22 new local coronavirus cases in the last 24 hours to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, as health authorities expressed concern about transmission events at four venues across the city. The news is next.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer.
Here's the pop quiz.
And it's all football and music.
It's coming home, bloody, bloody, blah.
Footballer, question number one, footballer Harry Kane was born on the 28th of July, 1993.
God, really?
Yes.
He's younger than my elder daughter, isn't that sad?
Take That were at number one at the time with which song in the UK?
93.
Yeah.
Back for Good.
No. What were England doing before last night's match?
Losing.
Ahead of the match.
Praying.
Pray was the song, yes. But, I don't think you knew that.
I just didn't know.
Question number two. Meanwhile, Sterling was born on the 8th of December the following year, 1994. And Baby D were at number one with which song? You do know this because you've played it.
Baby D.
Baby D.
Any relation to Kiki D?
No. You like this song.
Do I?
Well, I remember Boudoir Princess Charlotte, you liking it.
Oh, I can't remember.
Let Me Be Your Fantasy.
Doesn't mean anything to me.
Oh, you've got a senior moment.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, OK.
I liked it. Right. Boulevard, have we got it?
We have, but we're not playing that.
Can we just have a listen to it, just see what it sounds like?
Yeah, you will recognise it when you hear it.
Baby
D.
D. Oh, I can't find it.
Oh, all right, then. Well, finally, final question. In 1966, when England beat Germany in the World Cup on July the 30th, Out of Time by who was at number one in the UK chart?
Chris Farlow.
Correct.
Right, we're definitely
got that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They think it's all over. It is now.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Were you singing from the rafters last night?
Nothing to sing about.
I beg your pardon?
Have we won the tournament? Have we won the tournament?
No.
That's when we'll start singing.
Okay.
It's where you set your goals. That's what's really important on
these
things.
You only sing when you're winning.
Sing when you're winning.
Yeah.
55 years of hurt disappearing overnight.
After the Dutch got knocked out, you had to switch your allegiance because you were all Holland, 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 weren't you, before? And now you
God's
have to
God's last touch, they created the Dutch.
Sorry?
Not God's this... last touch, they created the Dutch, not this team, maybe.
Not this time around, maybe, but
no.
So, yeah, well. My prediction was wrong, but anyone who listens to my Premier League predictions on a weekly basis would know how rubbish I am at predicting football results.
Absolute shambles you've been down the years at calling football matches. If you were to look at that, I think you'd be more than embarrassed, as be said. So England into the quarterfinals against Ukraine. The draw is opening up for them, but it's been a tournament that's been difficult to call, to be fair, hasn't it? The predictions have gone somewhat out of the window given the fact there's been some twists and turns and some of the big teams have already fallen.
Yes, I bet your heart was in your mouth when Müller broke through and he should have scored, really, shouldn't he?
Just dragged it wide a little bit. Listen, I tell you, if you're looking for a financial angle,
yes.
Domino's Pizza. We had Domino's Pizza last night, which is a rare occurrence, has to be said, in our house. They were absolutely crazy in Domino's Pizza. They said they've not seen anything like it in absolutely years. In fact, Domino's Pizza's been an incredibly strong performing company for a long time, no doubt. If we proceed through the tournament, they'll continue to go from strength to strength.
You didn't have the Hawaiian again, did you?
Hawaiian, no. Pepperoni passion with jalapenos. That's the big boys one.
Right. But it could actually, you know, on a serious note, give the economy, the English economy in particular, a boost if England progress even further.
Well, probably less so than you'd normally expect, though conditions are opening up a little bit. I don't know if that will be in coincide. I don't think a... Does that happen before the final thing? Normally, you'd expect, of course.
No, you
this
live
whole
in England.
Boost, this whole, yeah, I don't know when the final. When's the final? 2 weeks, I think, from now. I don't know. Anyway, so normally you'd expect a boost to the economy, people going out to pubs and to restaurants to enjoy it. Less so of that happening around. So I think probably the supermarkets will do well. Depends what the weather's like. Some of the barbecues, the drinks companies will do well. Bookmakers tend to do well, of course, if England continue in the tournament. So a few things to watch out for from a financial perspective.
Well, let's hope you know more about the markets than you do about Euro 2020.
Well, I was looking at some data from Bloomberg this morning. It was looking at cable after England had been knocked out of major tournaments. And a very high percentage that sterling is weaker in the day after England are knocked out of a major tournament. I don't know if you can extrapolate anything particularly from that.
Don't say that. We're relying on Ryan Sterling. He's been our best player so far.
He's really been good, actually, hasn't he? Very good. And Kane maybe just coming through at the right time. Oh, it's our best player now, is it? You're back at your English again, are you? That's interesting.
I am English. I have to say that.
Oh,
I
mean, lovely. Nice to have you back on board. Wonderful.
In previous tournaments, everybody would know that I would be cheering England from the rafters. So I'm sorry, but Brexit has left a very, very, very sad, sour taste in my mouth.
Okay.
And I'm afraid I can't support England wholeheartedly because, to be quite honest with you, I'm ashamed to be English at the moment, the way the government's been behaving. And that's why I have to say.
But
I still want them to win, obviously.
If you don't want to support the team, you don't want to support the team.
I didn't say I'm not supporting them. I said I can't support them wholeheartedly.
Oh, OK. That's where the principle knocks in.
Right,
nice
onto the markets.
Nice to know what the level is.
Come on.
European shares rose yesterday as economic data continued to point to an improving conditions, although the outlook remains uncertain given the risks around the developments of the Delta variant of COVID-19. Stock 600 rose 0.3%, chemicals and cyclicals leading the way. On Wall Street, stocks closed at another record high, though very moderate gains, less than 0.1%. Technology, retail companies, shares rising. Financials underperformed despite many of the largest US banks announcing payouts to shareholders. That was well known. That was coming very much priced in. Looking a bit of a lacklustre start on the European bourses. Perhaps it'll take time for London traders to get to their desks. Currently calling FTSE down 2 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 11 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 6 points.
Are you suggesting they were all out on the lash last night then? Is that what you're saying?
Some of them would have been.
Not you.
Not me, no.
Okay, US consumer confidence looking good, but is it going to prompt the US Federal Reserve to start moving sooner rather than later on stimulus and also interest rates?
No, I think the US Central Bank will continue to very much focus on inflation and employment, but they will be looking at the economic recovery, and the consumer plays an important role in that. US consumer confidence soared in June to fresh pandemic highs. So Americans became more upbeat about the economy and the labour market. Conference Board Index increased to 127.3 from an upwardly revised 120 reading in May. Report showed the improvement in confidence is driving a pickup in holiday plans. 37% of those surveyed said they plan to take a trip over the course of the next 6 months, adding to evidence that consumers will increase spending on services. The proportion of consumers that are planning to purchase big ticket items, houses, cars, major appliances, all rose. Consumer confidence in Europe also growing. In fact, European Commission data yesterday showed sentiment rose to its highest level in 2 decades in June. Optimism has been driven by the reopening of shops and restaurants and services as infection rates drop and pandemic restrictions are lifted. So what does it all mean? Adding to the evidence that that consumer-led recovery can play out in the second half of this year.
Nevertheless, a loss of attention on the non-farm payroll numbers this Friday.
Yeah, that's certainly true, and we're expecting another strong number. It's lost momentum over the course of the past couple of months, it has to be said, but look for the consensus around 650,000 jobs to be created during the course of last month. We expect the unemployment rate to tick down to 5.7%. Clearly, if we were to get a much stronger figure than that, it would increase the pressure on the US Central Bank to bring forward that tapering. We now expect the announcement of the tapering of that asset purchase to happen in September and the process to begin at the November meeting.
Which leads us on to the foreign exchanges, and the dollar is still sort of hovering at 1.5-year highs.
Yeah, the dollar's been fighting back, it has to be said, and that's a number of reasons. Some of this uncertainty around policy has been dissipating, the Fed perhaps no longer seeing as being behind the curve. And he's still talking about economic outperformance in the United States. We expect the US economy to grow 7.1% during the course of this year. If memory serves me correctly, we think Europe will grow around 4.6%. So that needs to be filtered through into foreign exchange markets. So our view in terms of FX is the dollar will slowly appreciate during the course of this year. The euro will weaken, sterling very much I think trading perhaps a little bit sideways, and the commodity currencies perhaps outperforming. So lots of opportunities for investors who are looking at that space. This morning, pound against dollar coming in at 138, euro dollar coming in at 119. You're gonna get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
So you don't need a nice pack on your head this morning then?
No such thing, it has to be said. I'm in fine fine, Fettel, and looking forward to the next round.
Yeah, try not to text me 100 times during the course of final match on Saturday night last night. I mean, there's no stopping you, you know.
Well, I know you're watching these things and like to stay in touch during the course of the tournament.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
In France, the last stage of the end of lockdown begins today, with restrictions largely being lifted in places open to the public, seeing bars, cafes and restaurants able to return to 100% capacity. It will also now be possible to stand at concerts and festivals, and there are no more restrictions for wedding celebrations. Wearing a mask remains compulsory when circulating inside establishments and on the terrace. In addition, serving and drinking while standing at the bar remains prohibited. From small stores to large shopping centres, it's no longer necessary for businesses to respect the limit of 4 square metres per customer, and the same applies to covered markets. Wearing a mask remains compulsory, including in open markets and outside queues. Cruises will be able to resume. However, for those accommodating more than 1,000 people, the use of a health pass is compulsory. But we will have to wait a little longer to go out to a nightclub. The nightclubs will not reopen their doors until July the 9th with a specific sanitary protocol. Today also marks the first day of the summer sales in France. The sales, which had been postponed due to the health crisis, will last 4 weeks from today. As the end of restrictions comes into effect, the head of state has warned that the worrying spread of the Delta variant could call into question the lifting of restrictions in certain affected regions of France. On the vaccination front, half of the French population has now received at least one dose of the vaccine, according to figures from Public Health France. And meanwhile, the French government has once again threatened to make vaccination against COVID compulsory for caregivers if their primary vaccination coverage had still not reached 80% at the start of September. The government wants at least 80% of staff in nursing homes and hospitals to be vaccinated against COVID by September, failing which it will open the way of an obligation. Ministers have warned that it is insufficient and it is not a normal situation. The warning comes as researchers from the Institut Pasteur say that some level of epidemic control may be needed this fall if the population is not vaccinated enough, adding that a significant peak in hospitalizations in COVID is possible in the absence of any measures in order to control the epidemic, adding that if vaccination coverage does not improve and no restrictions are taken at the start of the school year, a new peak in hospitalizations in the fall is possible, which could approach that experienced during the second wave in the fall of last year, with more than 2,500 daily hospitalizations due to COVID. In the absence of sufficient vaccination coverage, the Institut Pasteur recommends, for example, setting up a policy of massive testing in order to limit the spread. On Tuesday, French President Emmanuel Macron announced a plan of several billion euros for research and innovation. Macron said that the state will invest nearly 4 billion euros in its Health 2030 strategy, a plan to boost research and innovation in health, including more than 4 billion public funds for research. The latter will be supplemented by 4 to 5 billion private funds. The move comes after France's failure to quickly discover a vaccine against COVID. In other news, a new law passed on Tuesday after 2 years of debate will now allow lesbian couples and single women in France to be given access to fertility procedures. Previously, under French law, only heterosexual couples had the right to medical assistance for reproduction. The Inter-LGBT Association said it welcomed the change. And finally, the SNCF has announced that pianos are to return to French train stations tomorrow, Thursday the 1st of July, removed due to the pandemic. The reintroduction will be celebrated with a nationwide event, seeing 50 stations in France hold a special concert on July the 1st to celebrate the musical comeback.
The Euro 2020, brought to you by West Nautical, the experts in superyacht charter sales and management. Make your yachting experience the best it can be by contacting our multi-language experts today on 333-489-027211 or email info@westnautical.com.
England are through to the quarterfinals of the tournament after beating Germany 2-0 at Wembley Stadium last night. Both goals from Raheem Sterling and Harry Kane came in the second half, as England laid to rest old ghosts and beat their greatest rivals for the first time in a major tournament knockout phase since 1966. Yeah, so much for my prediction.
Well, I can understand. It's not often that it happens, is it?
I quite often get my predictions wrong, so I don't think anyone is particularly surprised. But no, it was
well done.
Really pleased for Raheem Sterling, because he's taken a lot of abuse and he's scored three goals for England now. And Harry Kane finally waking up. He took that well, didn't he?
He certainly did. Yeah. Well, they were afraid of him, weren't they?
They were afraid of Kane.
Yeah, yes. Germany did say we were afraid of Kane.
The other round of 16 game last night saw Ukraine beat Sweden 2-1 after extra time. So in the quarterfinals, Switzerland play Spain and Belgium play Italy on Friday, while on Saturday the Czech Republic play Denmark and England play Ukraine. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Is there something to do with a Chelsea player in Ukraine?
Why?
Is there a Chelsea player that plays for Ukraine?
I don't think so.
Oh, OK.
No.
All right.
There's several German players who play for Chelsea and a couple of English ones as well.
But nobody for Ukraine.
I don't think Chelsea have got a Ukrainian player.
No.
Anyway, here's more from BBC Sport.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. Goals from the Manchester City star Raheem Sterling and the Tottenham Hotspur striker Harry Kane saw England beat old rivals Germany 2-0 in the round of 16 at the European Football Championship. The BBC's correspondent John Murray was at Wembley Stadium for the big game.
Gareth Southgate's team created more memories for a new generation with England's first win against a German team in a knockout match since 1966. In a closely fought match, goalkeeper Jordan Pickford's saves were vitally important as England built momentum and scored their goals in the last 15 minutes. Substitute Jack Grealish involved in both as first Raheem Sterling, then Harry Kane converted from close range to a cacophonous reaction from a crowd of almost 42,000. Crucially, in between the goals was a glaring miss by Germany's Thomas Müller. But England will now leave Wembley for Rome, having still yet to concede a goal in the tournament.
And England next play Ukraine, who beat Sweden 2-1 after extra time. Manchester City have agreed a new one-year contract extension with club skipper Fernandinho. The 36-year-old joined City in 2013. He's the winner of four Premier League titles and six League Cups. Fernandinho was also part of the City side beaten in the Champions League final by Chelsea in May. The Brazilian feels he still has plenty to offer the club.
Well, obviously, in my head, in my mind, still, you know, the job is not done yet. And so that's why I decided to stay here another year and try to help the team and the club to achieve the goals they are looking for. But for sure, the players which are here now, they know the standard we are now, you know, the level we are now, performance level, results level, so it's important.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Pickford's save from Havertz was pretty special as well.
Certainly
I thought that was
going,
and that was a thunderbolt, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's the Ukraine boss that is the former Chelsea striker.
What, Shevchenko?
Yes.
Yeah, well, he didn't do very well when he was at Chelsea, so I prefer to forget that.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Serena Williams will have to wait for that record-equalling 24th Grand Slam title after she was forced to withdraw through injury at Wimbledon yesterday. The 39-year-old started her match against Alexandra Sasnovich with heavy strapping on her thigh and slipped in the fifth game. She went down again in the seventh game and was overcome by emotion before having to retire. Williams was given a standing ovation by centre court as she left. Several players have raised concerns about these slippery conditions on the centre court baseline. To try the pavements in Monaco. Roger Federer avoided a huge Wimbledon upset after his French opponent Adrian Manarino slipped and injured his knee while leading 2-1 and 4-2 in the fourth and was forced to retire. Elsewhere, there were first-round wins for Ashley Barty and Venus Williams in the women's competition, while in the men's events, Dan Evans of Great Britain and Daniel Medvedev of Russia both moved through. Cycling, Mark Cavendish has won his first Tour de France stage for 5 years and a sprint finish on Stade Fougères. Now, the Manxman finished ahead of Nasser Buhani and Jasper Philipsen. Mathieu van der Poel retains the leader's yellow jersey with an 8-second advantage over Julien Alaphilippe of France. Today's fifth stage is a 27.2-kilometre individual time trial between Mayenne and Laval. And in Formula One, Mercedes say they do have performance upgrades for the car as they seek to keep up with Red Bull in the World Championship fight. Team principal Toto Wolff said after last weekend's Styrian Grand Prix, the team had switched to focus on the 2022 car. Lewis Hamilton's been calling for upgrades as he seeks a record-breaking eighth drivers' championship. The team's technical boss, James Allison, says they have a number of things that will make the car faster in the coming races and that upgrades would be available on both the chassis and engine side. Hamilton trails Max Verstappen by 18 points heading into this weekend's Austrian Grand Prix.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almara Sea and the Var. The general situation is a depression, 1,009 millibars over the Côte d'Azur. Now, winds are southwesterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,010 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 variable winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southwesterly, force 5 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,011 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 4 to 6. Southwesterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
Clear skies with moderate to strong southwesterly winds across the region today. Temperatures 30 to 32 degrees. Overnight lows 21 or 22 degrees with clear skies. Thursday and Friday mainly fine. Highs of 26 to 30 degrees.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer. Open air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally,
a major study has suggested that insomniacs can undo the health damage caused by poor sleep if they go on a brisk walk every day.
But you have to stay up all night.
Yeah, stay up all night and then go for a brisk walk. A lack of sleep is linked to a number of health problems, but research found that being moderately active appeared to eliminate the harms of insomnia. Researchers found that poor sleep and lack of exercise independently increase the risk of death, but adults who slept badly dramatically reduce their risk of disease if they were active. The World Health Organization does recommend 150 minutes of moderate exercise a week, and that's the equivalent of a 20-minute brisk walk or jog a day.
Off you go, then. You're up to date. The news is on the website, radioradio.mc. Stuart says, fantastic to be back in Vence after a year. Oh, don't say they let you in. Journey yesterday was fairly straightforward from Glasgow, but all three documents were checked carefully at Glasgow airports. The checks weren't so careful at Nice. So today is our 43rd wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Any chance of all I have to do is dream by the Everly Brothers as yes, I forgot to buy a card. Oh, Stuart. Happy anniversary.
Off to a good start.